How can electric cars catch on if the price turns people off?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. General Motors says its new electric car, the Volt, it's going to cost more than the company initially planned, $41,000. This might put a crimp in sales of the plug-in car that some people see as the savior of GM. Here to talk about the car, the price, and the company is Marketplace's Janet Babin joining us live. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Janet, why will the Volt cost so much?
Lithium-ion batteries. The battery packs are supplied by Korea's LG Chem, and they're expensive, and GM just hasn't been able to get the price lower. But remember, the buyers of the Volt are going to get a tax break worth about $7,500, so that'll bring the price down a bit. And also, GM said yesterday it's going to offer lease options at about $350 a month, so that'll bring the Volt in line with the main competition it's got, Nissan's Leaf. But still, $41,000, you know, you could buy a luxury vehicle for that price, like a Cadillac CTS or something. So
right. This
is really going to be about paying a premium for technology.
So what are the signs that the Volt could still, quote unquote, save GM at such a high price?
Well, you know, GM hopes this is going to work because it's going to be an attractive option. The Volt has this small gasoline engine that the competitors don't have, so that gives the car more range, and it takes away some of the fear about getting stranded with an electric car. You know, you run out of juice and just have nowhere to go.
Right, right. So, okay, let's say I'm sold, Janet. When can I pick up my new Volt?
Well, California's going to be the first market, Bill, and the cars go on sale in November.
Janet Babin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Senate could vote this week on a bill to help small businesses. The measure would send as much as $30 billion to community banks, a way of encouraging them to turn around and lend to small businesses. Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us that strategy has its risks.
Small banks are in a tough spot. They're supposed to be lending more, but they're also supposed to be tightening their lending requirements. The $30 billion from the government would make their balance sheets look like they had more cash. The more cash they have, the more they can borrow from other banks. Then they can lend that money onto small businesses. But critics say that kind of borrowing is too risky.
You know, if you, you know, push the credit risk off to the public sector, you know, you're likely to see more loans.
Elliot Stark works at Capital Insight Partners. It's an investment bank that provides services to community banks.
But you're also likely to see more losses as well as more and more marginal borrowers, you know, receive credit. And, you know, it's a gamble.
People in favor of the bill say those kinds of fears are overblown. Bob Coleman is editor of a trade newsletter that reports on small business loans. He says banks are in the business of figuring out who they should and shouldn't lend to.
They understand there's a risk, but they're in the job of mitigating risk.
The bill, which is part of a bigger package of aid for small businesses, could get voted on this week. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Stocks have been on a roll lately. Let's do the numbers. The buying continues today, especially in Japan. The Nikkei index shot up almost 3%. The Japanese camera maker Canon reported big profits, and Japan's car makers say demand is up. European stocks are slightly higher as well. In New York yesterday, shares were flat, but the Dow Industrials stayed on a roll, adding 12 points to close at 10,537. The Walt Disney Company is buying the online social gaming company Playdom for $563 million. This is the latest sign the company is becoming a formidable player in the video game industry. Disney said it's buying Playdom to strengthen its digital gaming portfolio. The purchase will help bring Disney's characters, stories, and brands to customers in new ways through Facebook and MySpace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0.
Our Wall Street reporter Jeremy Hobson has been driving through the state of Tennessee, taking the economy's temperature. He's in the city of Kingsport in the northeast corner of the state. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Bill.
What are you finding in Kingsport?
Well, Kingsport is a small mountain town. There are about 45,000 people here. It's almost entirely white, and many of the people here work for the big chemical company Eastman. So they really feel it when the consumers around the country start to cut back, because the chemicals here go into everything from soda bottles to car paint. And even the people who don't work for Eastman feel it. I spoke with a hairdresser named Kimberly Moneyhun. She says people here are going longer between haircuts, and that is making things harder for her.
As a matter of fact, I'm looking for a second job now to cover for nights. I'm single, so I've got to take care of myself, so it's going to take something else.
And Jeremy, in your conversations with the people in Kingsport, how confident are they that their economy is going to come back?
Well, it really depends on who you ask, Bill. I spoke with a retiree who said things are terrible. I spoke with a small business owner who said things have been tough, but they're starting to get better. Here's an Eastman employee named Wayne Chastain.
When consumers stop buying, we definitely do feel it. And lines slow down. We were at fairly low capacity utilization for quite some time, but things have certainly picked up since then. So it looks, at least within the chemical industry, within our particular portion of the chemical industry, that things are recovering, and that's good news for us.
And I asked Wayne Chastain who he blames for the recession. He said he doesn't blame Wall Street. He said they were just doing what they could to maximize their profits given the regulatory structure that's in place. And he says he doesn't really blame Washington either. He and many of the people I spoke with don't have a lot of blame for this recession. They say recessions happen. You just have to get through them when they come.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson is driving through Tennessee, and he's in Kingsport in the northeast corner of that state. Jeremy, thank you.
You're welcome, Bill.
And finally, 10 years ago, a Fresno, California man went to a garage sale and bought a few dozen antique glass plates for $45. They were photographic negatives taken at Yosemite and other California spots. Yesterday, a Beverly Hills appraiser announced the man who took those photos was America's most famous landscape artist, Ansel Adams. And they could be worth $200 million. Now, Adams' grandson says he thinks they're fakes, and besides, he says the value was in how Adams developed his negatives. Prints made by somebody else are worthless. Priceless or worthless? You can decide. The man has begun selling darkroom prints of the photos for $7,500 a snap. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.